everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. It's a bittersweet show. For me, it's very bittersweet. For my guest, she's probably jumping up and down saying, hey, I don't have to talk to that bald-headed guy anymore. But Janice Broderick, she is the, there she is, Janice Broderick and Jackie. Janice Broderick is the executive director of the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And she has decided after years of dedication that she's going to get mad at me because I'm going to say nice things about her. And she always gets mad at me when I say nice things.
I blush.
But, yeah, me too. She, her vision, because I interviewed her when you first got this job, probably one of the first interviews you ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you laid out a kind of a vision, and what she has done with the Elizabeth Freeman Center is nothing but spectacular, is one word to say it. She's brought in wonderful people, and what these people have done, along with her board, they have helped her live and realize the vision she had for the Elizabeth Freeman Center. And I consider her a very dear and a very close friend. And I wish her the very best, although I've spoken to board members not to accept her retirement because she's too young.
But I know. I know.
Yeah.
But we have a replacement. We'll talk about the replacement. I've already arranged with Janice to try to do one more interview with the new boss and Janice and Jackie and anybody else who wants to be on, just to let her know I'm here for her too, like I've always been for Janice and Jackie. So how does it feel to be approaching retirement?
You know, I haven't had a chance to really think about it a whole lot. So I, you know, this is consuming work. I think everyone who does this work knows that. And I am getting old, Bill. And, you know,
I want to show you something. These socks right here, they're older than you are.
Yeah, it's time for new leadership, I think, and I'm very excited about Divya coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, people need to move on before they lose their juice. I don't want to lose my juice before I move on. So
I will tell you a quick story. I was in a green room one time because I was doing a training film. And in the same room was Walter Payton. And I said to him, I have to tell you, I could have watched you run for another 20 years. He said, well, I had a friend, and I won't mention who it was, in the NFL that had to be walked off the field. And he said, I thought I would go out on the crest of the wave, not the undertow. Little did he know what 3 years later, four years later, he'd be dead. But anyhow, that's the coffee. Don't worry about it. I wear it well. Looks good on my shirt.
We have a lot of things going on here still, you know.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of a big transition in leadership. But we've also been very, very busy here.
You never let up.
Well, you know, we've had an incredible increase in calls.
Yes, you were saying.
Yeah. No, since, you know, we knew when COVID hit that there would be an increase in violence. And, you know, the phones were kind of quiet the first couple of months, and then the dam broke. And since COVID erupted in 2020, calls to our hotline have increased 324%.
Oh.
it's incredible. I think, you know, not only because we know violence is increasing, but also I think the word's getting out that help's available. And that's because of folks like you and folks who, you know, join us and Rise Together for Safety and Justice, which we'll talk about.
Yep.
And just, you know, the amazing partnerships we have in this community. I mean, people here get it and, you know, they want to help.
They do. But you, my good friend, made people aware of it. When I was a young cop, operative word young there, no, we weren't riding horses. That my son asked me that. We had cars. Not fast cars, but I think through your efforts and the efforts of the Freeman Center, the word is out. There is help. You have to reach out for it. But I got a Rise sign. I've just hauled it out of the garage and put it right back up again. But for next year, Jackie, I am going to need the little wire thing snapped on.
Okay.
But it's standing up. But okay. We'll talk about that. But when you got with people and you brought this to light, you did it in not a condemning way. You did it in a saving way, if that makes any sense, because you said there's help. Come to us and not this is your fault kind of thing, you know. Which, you know, you've been around this field a long time, so have I. And there were a lot of people who were, well, it's her fault. Well, no.
Yeah, these are topics, domestic dating, sexual violence. They're topics that are kind of shrouded in silence, right, and right. Shame. And I'm hoping that over the past several years, we've been breaking that silence. I mean, we always say everyone knows someone. And, you know, I realized that early on in my career that people don't talk, but when they feel safe, they will talk.
Exactly.
When I first came to Elizabeth Freeman Center and I, you know, would go out, whether it was buying flowers or going to a, you know, my kids' school events or whatever, when people learned that I worked at Elizabeth Freeman Center, the stories just poured out. From all sorts of people.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're breaking that and we're making it less shameful. And I think, you know, it's not only getting the word out that we can help, but where we are, that we're ready. You can call as many times whenever you want. You know, you don't even have to give your name. It can be confidential. You can call for someone you know. And a lot of times we know when someone's calling for someone they know, it might be for them, right? But also,
I have a friend, right? One of those I have a friend calls. Yeah.
But also, I think, you know, we have tremendous partnerships in this community. Okay, I'm going to brag a little bit for.
I want you to brag because you deserve you. And I'll say it again. This years back, she came on the show with a vision. And a lot of it was openness, be there, listen, don't judge. A lot of these things, and I wish I had kept it on tape, but simply because the vision has come to pass. You a lot of the things that you implemented through, yes, using other people, but like I tell Kraft or the Patriots, you know, when people say, well, I got a great team. Well, the Patriots had a great team, too. Oh, let me caveat that. They had a great quarterback that led the team. His name was, I don't know, Tom something.
But I was going to brag about, you know, that we have so many partnerships. We have so many people in the community willing to help. That last year, we won the One Berkshire's Nonprofit Collaborator Award. And what's so funny about it is that most of us couldn't attend the event. We had to send two people because the rest of us were on the streets in Lenox doing Rise Together with folks in the community. So it was kind of fitting in that regard. But it really does, you know, it takes a team. And people involved at EFC at all levels are so committed to right. this work. You know, most of us are survivors. We understand the impact of what we do and the impact if help's not available. So we put, you know, we have to all come to it with our A game. It, everyone has to be working at, you know, at the top of their game. So, and I think folks here really.
They do.
That, yeah.
They do. I mean, I through other sources, I've met people who've been through the Freeman Center. And just as one lady said, they were marvelous. They were great. But what they gave me, I hadn't had for years. And that was the feeling of safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, you know, in and for, you know, I grew up in a household that was loving and all that. But, you know, I knew kids. I grew up in the North End, and I knew kids that, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. Then I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program. And those, when you talk to them, it's no wonder they're in the Violent Youthful Offender Program, you know?
Yeah.
But what has been the most challenging part of this beautiful thing you've created? What caused you to not sleep at night? I mean, other than you had to do a show with me the next morning.
You know, I think it's that we can't fix everything. You know, I mean, we're not meant to fix it. You know,
right.
we take the lead from survivors, but the options out there are still not great, even though we've done a lot of work at EFC to try to increase options for survivors. You know, sometimes people are just not going to be safe. No matter what we do, sometimes, you know, people suffer such poverty and homelessness, and there aren't the supports out there to help with that. And so you suffer this harm, you suffer this trauma, and then you're still suffering because it's so hard to get out. And so sometimes there are just no good answers. And I think that's what keeps us all awake at night.
Yeah. I think back on my days in the cruiser, you know, you'd go to a family dispute and it'd be, and this is before all the new laws, that'd be ugly, ugly. And, you get the person out with the help of that point in time, with the help of the Salvation Army, and you get a call 4 or 5 days later, same address, the person went back. And that's when I realized as a young person what you just said. What you just said, there's a lot of variables to this puzzle.
Yeah. No, and in people, yeah. So what we try very hard to do is to help people understand that we will not judge them.
Yep.
No matter what choice they make, yep. That we will always be here, that you can always call, that we will always care, and that no matter what, you know, choice. And there are a lot of, like, huge challenges, right? I mean, you know, the courts really can't keep you safe if you're in a really dangerous situation.
No, they can't.
The police really can't keep you safe if you're in a really dangerous situation. Sometimes, you know, you have to choose to uproot yourself and move to an entirely different area so you can achieve some safety. Sometimes you're always hoping that things will change because they were better in the past.
Yeah.
You want your kids to have, you know, a second parent, or you're being threatened with losing your kids. You know, they'll take your kids, they'll kill you, they'll get you deported. I mean, there's just all sorts of complications and fears. But there is life beyond. I think that's also what we try to support people on, you know, but it's really, really hard. I mean, it's just, you know, makes me want to cry sometime when I see people walk through our door with such fear, but also such courage. And it's just, we're constantly in awe.
Yeah. And
we can offer, you know, we've been growing the supports that we can offer.
Yeah.
So it's not easy, but there is life beyond. And we will work with people from, you know, whether they're fleeing violence or whether they're living in an abusive situation, we will work with folks in that kind of situation as safely as we can. And we will work with people onward, you know, and we have programs to try to help people build financial stability and independence. So, you know, because we know that if you can't feed or shelter yourself or your kids, you know, the likelihood of being stuck someplace is very, very high. So we've been doing a lot of work around financial and housing advocacy.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, Janice started something called Money School, because so many of these women, as we, you know, have never handled any money. They don't know anything at all. And to me, there's a lot of great things about it. But one of the things that I love about it is that there are people from the banks that come in, and those women have someone to talk to.
Right.
They never had anybody like that in their life. And they're free to talk to them at any time. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful
thing. You know when you take a look at the people who need the services, that they really need the services. They're not just doing it to learn something new. You know, they're like, we were just talking about money. I know I don't handle any of the money in my house. If I'd have to come see you if my wife threw me out, but there are people who. You're right. The man, the male knows it all and has all the control and writes the checks. So I applaud you for doing that, because that's certainly an inroad. I don't want to say to freedom, but it's an inroad to a new life.
Well, Money School, we also have it in Spanish and other languages. We've done it in sign. Not only like kind of teaches basics, but it's more than a financial literacy program. I mean, that's, you know, you can't budget your way out of poverty. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? So, you know, we also have folks from the colleges come in, from Mass Higher come in, from E4All. You know, we have a lot of folks who want to have their own business. And we help people get back to school. You know, we try to apply for different scholarships for people. We may be able to provide transitional housing assistance so they can focus on that. And, you know, get a job or get a better job that's going to support them and their families. So it's really, you know, we call it a financial independence initiative. And we stick with people. Last year, I think through that program, we worked with, I just did a report, 204 people, you know, and it's a combination of workshops and ongoing support. So it's really people buy their homes, you know, I mean, it's just, and so many people are involved with that program in the community, you know, the experts.
You have to go back to the old thing. If the only tool you have is a hammer, everything's a nail. Well, for some of these people, that's what it's been. It's been they've been the nail to the hammer. And now you're giving them, wait a minute, vision, insight, new paths. And I know you're going to get mad. That's the vision you brought.
Exactly, Bill. It came from Janice.
Vision,
This is part of the movement. The movement began much earlier than me,
there's a lot of talk. I don't mean to interrupt you. Here's what my career has shown. There are a lot of people who can plan. There's not a lot of people who can implement.
It all takes different skills. I'd be a lousy counselor. I'm not a great counselor, but so we have people that have that expertise here as well. You know, people that we see come from all walks of life, you know.
Yeah. I saw it as a cop. It's not just a lot of people have a stereotypical view. No. I was on some big named blocks in Pittsfield, and one I remember very distinctly, and we were gonna locked a person up and pleaded, don't, he'll lose his job.
Yeah, and we see that a lot, you know, when perpetrators have power,
yeah,
the system deals with them much differently. But, you know, we've also...
I got to introduce who you both are, because if I don't, people yell at me. This is Janice Broderick. She's retiring from the Elizabeth Freeman Center. We've been doing these shows for a very long time, and I've watched this Freeman Center blossom into a really wonderful social service agency. And on the board is the other lady. Her name is Jackie Dendere, and she is on the board of Elizabeth Freeman. She's also a member of Unico and 47 other, I don't know. But, and Jackie, the board has, I mean, you've selected a new executive director. I'm excited to meet this person, but it's gotta be a feeling of loss with Janice going.
Oh, please. It's very hard. It's hard. And of course, we've met Divya, and she's a lovely person.
Yeah.
But we got Janice.
You know, people are going to love Divya. She has so much energy, so much commitment, so much to bring here.
I'm really excited
to have her.
But you're like a comfortable sweater. You've been around. Everybody knows you. Everybody thinks the world of you. Just slide on old Janice. But, you know, we... As a society, you have helped bring this out of the shadows into the light so that people can do something with it. I mean, how many bankers 20 years ago would ever thought going to the Elizabeth Freeman Center? You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That country, yeah. and but also visionary. So the people who are dealing, I guess, what I want to say. Not every social service agency is caught up with the 21st century. Let's just leave it at that. You have. And you found, and I think you fared better, maybe not really, you fared better through COVID than many other agencies.
Well, they were there.
That's testimony to the dedication of people here. We stayed
open. Oh,
during COVID, we never.
Oh, I know. You guys didn't miss a day.
No. And it was, you know, teamwork, because not everyone could be on site, but we filled in, you know, wherever we needed to fill in. And, you know, with this, and it's a testimony, we're working with so many more people than we did in the past with the same number of staff.
Yeah.
Which is not great. Which is why Rise Together for Safety and Justice is important, and you know, to us for raising money.
I can't say enough about your staff too, because they all showed up through COVID. They handle some social science problems that they don't even talk about in college to train them, but they're always there. And they're always giving. Here's the most important I found working with violent youthful offenders, and it's this: you have to listen, don't judge, Don't be formulating your response. Just shut up and listen. Because the more, I call it a communication bridge. If you have a good communication bridge with someone, you'll get the real facts.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, people have to survive. And so, if we can build trust and communicate, openly, then that makes a big difference. But building the trust, because, trust. A lot of people have really...
You nailed it.
Systems are not kind to people in many, many ways.
They're impersonal.
And we're not naive enough to think we aren't viewed as part of a system, right? So there is the trust building is very, very important.
They're impersonal. They call them bureaucracies for a reason. And what I found in my career going through that, what you've done with yours is you've humanized it. You've made it accessible on a human level rather than a bureaucratic level. Okay, well, your case number 2786. So tell me what you got. What, I've heard that before. No, from the people that I know who've been through this, well, a lot of years now since you've been there, and one lady said to me, the change is dramatic. And she's left the area for safety reasons. Mm. And this sounds crazy, but I said, don't contact me. Don't, because she would say, well, I'll get a hold of you on Facebook. I don't want to get a hold of me on Facebook. But what do you think the challenges will be for, and you just said your call numbers are going up. So it's not really getting better.
Well, is it not getting better? The number of calls we get, the number of restraining orders that are filed, it's hard to tell what that means, right? I think, we know we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg still. Because
you
we know
that every time we've been on.
It's prevalent. I mean, the statistics about sexual assault, the statistics about dating and domestic violence, through all age groups are pretty awful, And, a third or more of the population has suffered some kind of trauma related to that. So we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. But I think, the word getting out is really kind of, I look at the increase in calls as really an indication of the word getting out to call.
Oh, I do. No, it's a dichotomy. It's a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
The word's getting out, more people are calling, it's coming out into the light, but it's still there in force. So we got to take a break. These two ladies, I'll tell you, I could talk to them forever. As you can tell, I probably think the world of both of them. Janice and Jackie, they have given and given, and that's what society's about. There's a lot of, as my Irish, saintly Irish mother would say, a lot of malarkey being thrown around during the campaigns. But I will just tell you this, this isn't malarkey. These ladies, they live and breathe this. Did you hear that the Elizabeth Freeman Center never shut down during COVID? Never. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. I will do this again. I know I've gotten your text. I don't care. This is my flag. Please don't disrespect it. I have friends that are buried under it. And if you don't believe it, go to the cemetery and just stand there at the top of the hill at St. Joseph's at the cross and look at the flags rippling in the wind. At one point in time, every one of those people signed on the dotted line to give their life for this flag. I know these are tough times and we're going through some periods, but don't disrespect the flag. I've lived all over the world. In every place I've lived, everybody wanted to get under that flag. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at ParkSquareProductions.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
The Berkshire Mobile Farmers Market returns this summer. Our mission is to support local farms by bringing their fresh food to communities across Berkshire County. We sell seasonal produce, eggs, meat, cheese, bread, and more. Plus, we offer a sliding scale payment system. We'll be in Adams, North Adams, Beckett, Monterey, and two Pittsfield locations from June through October. Find out more at BerkshireMobileFarmersMarket.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I have these two wonderful ladies. One has decided... throw me under the bus and retire. Her name is Janice Broderick. I have the utmost respect for this lady. The other is Jackie Sandera. I have the utmost respect for her. Jackie is on the board of the Elizabeth Freeman. Janice is the chief executive officer of the board.
No, we don't call it CEO.
Oh, executive director. What do they call you?
Kind of pretentious.
Boss? Well, Janice is retiring, and well, we're going to do one more show with Janice and the new person.
Locking me in, Jackie.
Yeah, and they've got a big event coming up. Let's jump to that, and then we're going to do. And Jackie brought out a very important point. Pets, and again, I'm glad she brought it up because it never crossed my mind. Of course. There's not a lot to cross there anymore, but people stay in bad situations, family situations for their pets. And well, let's talk about that first, then we'll go to the rise together. Who wants to talk about pets? Hello?
It's just that they don't have to worry because we have this program with the Berkshire Humane Society that will foster their pets. Because as I said, many people are afraid to leave their pets there for what would happen to them, or if anything would be taken out on them. And so we have one more special Elizabeth Freeman program.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, she gets a little huffy, Janice, when you try to give her credit, because she has the vision.
I didn't create this program, but it was kind of inspired by someone who was doing court advocacy through EFC years and years ago, who also was involved with Berkshire Humane Society, because she had a client who wouldn't leave her two dogs to go into shelter.
Oh, I know people because, like that. Yeah.
You know, often dogs are, you know, or any pets, they know how much you care about them. You know, they threaten them, they do harm them. Berkshire Humane Society is fabulous. Woohoo, Berkshire Humane Society.
No, they are. And
they, you know, they organize veterinarians, you know, animal control officers. I mean, just a whole host of foster care situations for different kinds of pets. And they've worked with, you know, from snakes and birds to horses. they're really incredible, and just shout out to them. You know, we also, I just want people to know, we work with, you know, folks of, you know, anyone, you know, whatever gender, whatever, you know, anything. And we actually have programs now to really kind of specialize services for folks who are at greater risk, you know, because of different factors. So we have, you know, specialized services for immigrants, for children, for folks with disabilities, for people who are homeless. What am I missing?
Did you say the
LGBTQ access?
Which is a big one.
Yeah. So, so we have these specialized programs, but people who are from within those communities, so they understand, you know, a lot of the barriers that people are facing. And these are folks who probably face the greatest barrier with systems, right? And so we work a lot like that.
But it isn't it wonderful, and I say this to the people listening, and if you got a couple of bucks, you might want to write a check. Janice will give you and it doesn't have to be a lot.
No.
But here's the thing. Isn't it wonderful that we have this organization of caring people who just want to help anybody who comes through their doors? And they don't judge. That you heard the people they deal with. All you walk through that door, you are a person in need. That's how they, and I don't tell them how they're doing it, but that's how I see them. I've referred people that, and I will say this from my background: children who grow up in an abusive family environment, they're really challenged. And that's all I'm going to say. I had a lot of them under my care, and I interviewed every single one and listened to their story. That was an operative word. Listen.
Well, you know, I have a personal story about that, Bill, is that my oldest son said that he would never get married and have children because of he would be afraid that he would be like his father, which it was all emotional abuse, but still.
Yeah.
And I said, but Tony, you know that, so you wouldn't. And he said, you know, statistics show, you know, that can happen. And he's never had kids. He's 60 years old.
Wow. And there's what I just interviewed a guy I'm writing another book on, youthful offenders. But I just interviewed a pediatrician who said childhood trauma can go well into can affect their whole being, their whole life. Yes. And so that's why when we talk about Janice and what she does, why I'm so always have been such a wonderful supporter of this and such a big supporter is because what they do, the healing that they do. And that's maybe, Janice, you correct me if you think that word healing is wrong, but I think they do heal a lot of people.
Well, we support people's healing process, but we do have special services for kids, and we do it. We have a program in partnership with Berkshire County Kids Place, and we provide that countywide. And just so people know, we have offices not only in Pittsfield, but also in North Adams and Great Barrington, as well as people working out of the three district courts and probate court to help with protection orders. And that's a really interesting, it's a really important program. Not only getting a court protection order, at least gives you some protection or something will happen when you call police. But it also, the folks we meet through the courts, at least 50% of them haven't been in contact with us. And it's a really vulnerable period in someone's journey because, you know, when you make that decision to get court protection, that's when everything, you know, every other thing in your life kind of changes. And we can provide kind of wraparound supports to help people navigate that process. So, it's a really important program. But speaking of Berkshire Humane Society.
Yes.
I'm not going out there, no matter how hard you try. I don't like cages.
They're one of the teams that registered to walk and raise money for Rise Together for Safety and Justice. So woohoo to them. And that's
we want people to go to ElizabethFreemanCenter.org. You can create a team as Berkshire Humane Society, or you can just donate yourself. And while you're there, take a look at everything we do.
Oh yeah, you will be amazed. You will be, if you've never been to that site, you will be amazed.
Yeah.
And I just want to go back for 1 minute, then we'll go on to Rising Together. My experience is when the court gets involved too, that can be a traumatic time. I just would always say be aware of that and don't open the door, call the cops, because now you got a piece of paper. And going through those, I knew one Looney Tune that left the court and went right to the house before the woman got back home when we got called. So those are the real things that I try to bring.
We do a lot of safety planning with people when they're going through this process, you know. Also, you know, we've been providing more and more like new locks and sometimes security cameras to help people feel safer in their homes. Because, you know, if you can hold on to your home,
absolutely, that's good,
because there's not a lot of housing out there. Plus, it just kind of increases the disruption in your life. But it's, you know, a lot of concerns. But
the disruption of the victim, but also the children. That's what I found. One lady told me, she was a kiddo in a program here who said they got kicked out of their apartment on Christmas Eve because the father went out and drank all the rent, and they were behind like 3 months. So let's talk about Rising Together. That's, I try to do that in the morning.
This is our third year to do Rise Together for Safety and Justice. This is our biggest fundraiser and fundraiser. We do about, I don't know what, Jackie, like 2 to 3 months of like shows and press and talks to different people about the issues of violence and how we can work to stop it, how we need to work together. We kind of spread the word out there. And this is why, like we were talking about, we're seeing this huge increase of people calling.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of, word of mouth is huge in Berkshire County, right? And word of mouth is getting out there, and RISE is very important. We really do team up with Berkshire Immigrant Center, NAACP, Berkshire Chapter, and Berkshire Pride, you know, to try to raise awareness about the increased vulnerabilities folks. It's a big event. And then we culminate in 6 walks throughout the county, in Pittsfield, Great Barrington, North Adams, Lenox, Lee, and Williamstown.
You know what, Bill? When COVID, you know, we always did the big one in Pittsfield, and along came COVID, and what were we going to do? And that's when we decided to have the smaller ones.
Right.
I think the first one we handed out masks even. But I'll tell you, to me, it was the best thing that we did.
Yeah.
Because we go into those towns and Janice speaks and we give them all the information. And I've had friends of mine say, gee, Jackie, I knew that you did some of that, but I had no idea, because they came to the walk and they heard it all. And so it's really important. And I tell this story all the time, Janice, I'm sorry, is that a year or so ago, we were at the Lenox Walk. And Janice turns to everyone there and says, you have helped to do this. And when people hear that, they're certainly going to continue.
Personalize it. Yeah, it's just not group. Yeah.
So it's funny, too, because when we talk about community engaging with this, the Lenox Walk, for example, we walk in Lenox because Katie O'Neill from the library wanted one of her own in Lenox. and we walk in Williamstown now because folks working at Williams College were very involved with, as volunteers, helping us organize, and they wanted one in Williamstown. So, yeah, 6, if we do a traveling, like, woo, roadshow.
What's the date? And do me a favor, email me the dates, and I'll post them, and I'll start announcing.
That would be great, because we are handing out leaflets. I'll email it to you. RISE Together is also important because it is our biggest fundraiser, and we really need these funds. Most of our grants have been level funded. One of our federal grants is cut because of federal policies in the last administration. So we need, you know, with these rising costs, we need to raise money. Plus, my dream would be to be able to hire another staff person to help with this incredible increase, because
workload.
You know, if first of all, people are hired, right? Comes out in different ways. Our greatest fear is missing someone, but our fear is not serving people well. We need more staff. So this is a really important RISE Together for us. But we are in process. Right now we have 30 sponsors who have stepped up. Jackie, this is usually your routine.
Yes, I just thought of another one and wrote it down.
And our lead sponsor this year, incredible increase in their donation, is J.H. Maximilian.
Great.
And thank you very much. But we also have, you know, kind of other major sponsors, people who have been with us a long time. Onyx Specialty Papers, Greylock Federal Credit Union, Berkshire Health Systems. And, you know, we have people who just keep coming back and back, like Iredale, Haddad, Rotary, Unico.
I have a Haddad story. When I got there, they were there, and they said, here, put on one of our shirts. This was when you were still in. It was great. The thing was, I was an extra large and the shirt was a medium. So Haddad went way around. But
You looked good anyway. I have a picture of you with that.
But you know, here was the thing too. people came together, and you felt the spirit of helping there. It wasn't, they knew the cause, and they were supporting it with their presence.
And some support it with their talents. So yeah. Like in Pittsfield, Jerome Edgerton and Youth Alive are coming back. We have the Eagles Trombone Ensemble in Lenox. Susan Davis is coming back. Eileen Markham providing music for the walks and so many others. So, you know, we have a lot of help out there. And
but we need more involvement. We need more people to become involved, more people to stand on the mountaintop and shout out, there is help, get there, Elizabeth Freeman Center, and be attuned to the problem. It still exists. It's not gone. And you've done a great job bringing out of the shadows, but there's, as you said, how much did your calls go up? 300%?
324%. But you know who I forgot, Jackie, is the Lee Middle High School band is going to be Lee. So we have, you know, participation from kind of all sectors. It's family friendly. You know, I mean, we're talking about a serious thing, but we try to make the whole thing family friendly. And there's a lot of kids who walk with their parents and a lot of students who walk.
But they learn. It's a
learning. And haven't we heard stories along the way
that
people have said to us that you helped us? And we've heard that too occasionally on the walks. And
there was a lady when you guys did it at the park there on
Pride Day.
Yeah. You know, there was a lady there and she said, I'm a big supporter because they helped me get a new life, me and my kids.
I know. Remember? Someone came up to me too, the same thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, while we'll miss Janice, I have enough connections to find out and have her followed.
Okay.
I don't know where she is.
Please do that.
You'll probably tell my house by the signs.
I look on William Street and what am I, the only guy here? What's the story, you know?
Well, get your neighbors to put up Rise Together signs. Yeah. If anyone's listening to this show, if you have a good location with, good traffic, let us know. Give us a call. You can message us through our site or email us at info@elizabethfreemancenter.org, and we will get you a sign. And signs for your friends, too, if you want. We're hoping this grows and grows and grows because our vision is, someday it just will not be acceptable and we don't have to worry about, ourselves or our children or our neighbors, like walking down the street and your eyeballs on them or, staying in their house in terror. It's just, it's not okay. It's not fair. No. It's not just. And so,
Bill, I'd like to say that our first walk is in Pittsfield on Tuesday, September 17th at 5:30. And where else are you reaching? And I can tell you what days.
Well, we go up to North Adams, probably Williamstown. Depends on where you're at in Lenox. We don't go as far as Lee.
Then I'll send you the list.
And
well, folks, read them all because people drive on their way to work here. So they may live in Lenox or Lee and they're driving to Pittsburgh.
So people can also check us out on Facebook. We do post about Rise there. If you go to our website, which is elizabethfreemancenter.org, all one word, you click on that big Rise picture and you can get to Rise and get more information about it.
You can donate there. You can donate there.
You can donate there. You can form a team. You can join a team. I have to do my donations soon.
I just started mine yesterday.
Well, the thing too is, folks, and let me just say this for them. If you only can afford $5, donate $5.
Oh, does it matter?
Yeah, I think sometimes people hear that and they think, well, Haddad and all these other people. But it's people.
But they're businesses. Individually, right. You can give us anything.
People like us that can give what we can give, you know, and every, trust me when I tell you, and I don't say this very often, but I would certainly tell you that there's no frivolous spending at the Elizabeth Freeman Center. You know, I don't hear anybody going to Hawaii for a convention.
No, and we actually have four people in my in our office now. We don't spend much on anything.
Yeah, well, I mean,
except,
you know,
when we need to motel someone because shelters are full, we're going to spend right. that money. If we need to put on new locks, we're going to spend.
That's what it's for.
If we need safe phone for someone so they can call for help, we're going to spend that money.
But that's what it's for. That's
a priority.
That's why people donate the money. It goes to the actual project. It doesn't go to one of the executives flying to, you know, Aruba for a convention. I have to run. I can't thank you guys enough. And Janice, I'll be speaking with the board off air about not accepting retirement. I have a formal protest in. But
Well, thank you for all your support and all your good work. So many years.
You've been so good, I will say.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at the walk.
Well, you will see me there. Don't take that as a threat.
I see you every year.
I know. And I'll get with you and Jackie to arrange a show when the new boss comes out.
Okie dokie.
I got a couple of announcements. They're very quick. One is this. Join us for the Golf for Good. It's the United Way's golf tournament. It's Friday, September the 27th at the Wacona Country Club. Sponsorships. Our opportunities are available. Also, are you ready? Pay attention because this is the new garbage routine. Well, you missed this one. So September 9th, 6 p.m., Morningside Community School. Thursday, the 12th of September, 6 p.m., Reed Middle School. Monday, September the 16th, 6 p.m., Berkshire Athenaeum. And this one is near and dear to my heart. On the third Wednesday of every month at the Fryo Center, they have it really helps a lot of people. It's called Memory Cafe in the Berkshires. And what it is in the boardroom, and it's for people, Memory Cafe is a casual social group for caregivers and people with mild cognitive impairment or memory loss. And the people that I've known who have gone to that as caregivers say it's like a supercharger. They just get supercharged. So if you have any of those needs, please, third Wednesday of every month, Fryo Center, they'll welcome you with open arms. I can't thank you enough for being on. Janice, I will miss you terribly. You are a wonderful person, and you've really done great things for this community and a very difficult position. Jackie, same, same. All right, I got to run, and as I always do, I know it upsets some of you, but I love doing it. God bless. And today, let's take care of each other. You see, in the big scheme of things, each other, that's all we have. So we don't need any more hatred and vile, nasty stuff. There's enough of it. Let's be the other side. Let's be the person who makes somebody laugh, help lift their burden that day, show them a smile. See you, kids. Be well, and remember, you're the best. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I'm going to miss you, Janice. I'm going to miss you.